Everybody, welcome back to the Invisible College. I'm your host, John Pistelli. This is my series of literature courses for paid subscribers to my Substack, grandhotelabyss.substack.com. You have been listening, you won't be surprised to know, to the voice of Robert Browning. Just like last week when we heard for the first time the voice of one of our authors, in that case the voice of Alfred Lord Tennyson, recorded in 1890 on a wax cylinder made by the Edison Recording Company. That was Robert Browning, recorded in 1889 on the same, well, not the same wax cylinder, a different wax cylinder, but the same thing, the Edison wax cylinder, reciting in his old age his poem How They Brought the Good News from Ghent to A. He sort of fumbled the lines there, but you probably couldn't hear. I'm just going for the atmosphere, the scratchy recording, the voice just reaching us across the centuries. I think they used to call it hauntology, when the distortion of the media itself called to mind the lost promise of the future it seemed to portend when we had more faith in modernity. I think that's the theory of hauntology. Don't quote me on that. I was never that good with theory, but I'm just going for atmosphere, is my point. And for the sake of atmosphere, that was Robert Browning. And this will be a lecture on Robert and Elizabeth Barrett Browning, the power couple of Victorian poetry. Sort of, not, I mean, not really, but you'll see, it's a mixed record, it's a mixed bag, but I will consider them together. I know I only asked you to read a few works of Mr. Browning and nothing by Mrs. Browning, but that's because Mrs. Browning's main achievement is book length, and I just want to make a few remarks about that and quote a few lines from that, rather than ask you to read anything, and her shorter pieces are not. Well, they're a mixed bag, too, but her main achievement is a book, as I'll explain. So, welcome back. This is our second lecture on the Victorian period and our second lecture on Victorian poetry, second of three on Victorian poetry, which will be broken up next week by Charles Dickens' Hard Times. I hope you're all reading that so you can be prepared for my lecture on that. That'll probably be a big one. This one I don't think will be. I probably say that sometimes and it's not true, but this one I feel will be shorter. I don't have an enormous amount to say about the Brownings, or my thesis about them is simple. One of the things about Mr. Browning, Robert Browning, is that he is thought to be and had the reputation in his own time of being a difficult poet. His own contemporaries didn't understand his work, and accordingly, as I'll explain, he was a big influence on modernism, on such later difficult poets as Ezra Pound and T.S. Eliot, and I'll explain all that, and I understand that, and I see that, and I do find his work difficult sort of on the surface, but I once I get past that surface, I'm not seeing conceptual difficulties, even of the kind I was finding last week in Tennyson. I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong. That's probably wrong. I was reviewing some of Harold Bloom's remarks about Robert Browning in his more popular books, or books addressed to a popular audience, such as Genius and The Best, whatever that one book is, The Best Poems in the English Language. And in those, he says, Browning is the best post-romantic poet in English. Better not only than Tennyson, Better not only than Pound and Eliot, whom Bloom dismisses anyway, but even better than the 20th century poets Bloom admires, like Frost and Stevens and Yeats. And that I'm not seeing. Better than Yeats and Stevens, I'm not seeing it. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll talk myself out of it. I have not given a lecture on Robert Browning since 2011. And I actually haven't read Robert Browning since 2011. And I was reviewing the poems for this. So maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. This could be, I could be disabused of my illusion. And I'll say a few more words later on about some of those more specific remarks Harold Bloom made, and we'll see if we can sort of test those on the poems. But in general, Tennyson and Robert Browning are now considered the two great Victorian poets. That wasn't always true. It wasn't true in their time. Tennyson and Elizabeth Barrett Browning would have been considered the two great Victorian poets. And then under the reign of modernism, it would have been Browning and probably Hopkins, maybe just Hopkins. And then it became Tennyson and Browning once you had that romantic revival. And Elizabeth Barrett Browning was revived as well, but perhaps not all the way to her former status. So we'll see. We'll talk about it. I'm still in my generalizations about my difficulties with the Victorian era, which I will continue to explain. But my thesis about this, about these two poets, is, I think, a somewhat less complicated one than the thesis I had about Tennyson last week. And it's also, I think, less political. I don't have a striking political thesis about the Brownings. They were liberals, and they seem to me to have been sincere liberals, and I seem to detect that in their work in ways that don't suggest an enormous amount of contradiction in their sensibility. There's contradictions within liberalism, and that's apparent in their work, particularly Aurora Leigh, the book-length poem of Elizabeth Barrett Browning, which I would say, I think I did say in graduate school, kind of stumbles on that contradiction of liberalism being at once an emancipatory but also an elitist ideology. And so, you know, that's there, but I don't have a big political thesis here today. I mostly have a thesis about literary history. Maybe a sort of depressing one. Maybe one about... I sometimes feel... I don't think I've disclosed this to you outright yet, but I sometimes feel what I've been narrating here, because I decided to emphasize poetry for this modern British literature survey, because I find this body of poetry underread. I find that for that reason, people don't see its influence, where its influence in fact is, and thus neglected. And I wanted to correct that. But even though I'm not myself really a poet or was ever a scholar of poetry or mainly a critic of poetry, nevertheless, I thought I would foreground that. But I also feel, maybe this will bother some of you, I know I have poets listening, but I also feel I've been narrating the slow death of poetry. And we're just taking one more step into the death of poetry today. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what we conclude as we look at the work of the Brownings, two of the most important poets of the Victorian era, both in their time and in various complicated ways for the isms of the 20th century, modernism in Robert's case and feminism in Elizabeth's case. I forgot how that sentence started. They're also important after their time, is the sense of what I wanted to say, even if I lost track of the grammar. So here we go. Let's think about it. Who are the Brownings? I have my customary slideshow here.